Bob, thanks for joining us. We're starting things off talking about 2020 and how much loss the city has seen. Your news organization has reported that there's been at least 2,000 COVID-19 deaths in the city. I mean, what do you make of this, all this loss?
Yeah, and I appreciate the question, because sometimes it's hard to understand the context of what that means, but it is just a stunning number. In 2019 we had 5,700 total deaths in El Paso, so that's kind of a typical year. But this year we're going to have more than 8,000 total deaths in El Paso because of COVID-19. And so, the city's sort of semi-official count of confirmed and suspected COVID-19 deaths totals right up around just a little over 2,000 right now. But the true figure is probably a bit higher than that, maybe 2,300 or 2,400, because we weren't doing as good of a job early in tracking these deaths. And so the human toll of that is just astounding. One way to put it into context is basically that one of every 420 people who were alive in El Paso at this time a year ago died this year of COVID-19. And it's, each of those 2,000 plus people had multiple loved ones who are really suffering from that loss. And it's going to take us a long, long time to recover from the trauma that we've experienced this year.
School enrollment in the city, it's dropped due to the pandemic. Can you tell us how this could actually impact funding?
Yeah, this is a problem that obviously schools across the country are dealing with. It does appear that the situation is more pronounced in El Paso, which is probably not surprising. We're a low-income community with a high degree of mobility because people are having to move around looking for jobs. But our reporter, Molly Smith, who covers education for us, looked at the three largest school districts in El Paso, which are Socorro Independent School District, Isleta Independent School District, and El Paso Independent School District. And between those three districts, enrollment was down 7,000 students in the fall. That has a ripple effect because the state funds education largely on enrollment. That means that if the state continues to go with its plan policy of ending this hold harmless period, where they've said, okay, we'll maintain funding on your previous year enrollment, they plan to end that early this year, that could result in these school districts losing millions of dollars, which means they may have to look at layoffs or delaying maintenance and things like that, which is not good. I think the other thing, when you look at the data, that really stands out is that a lot of parents of kids who should have been in kindergarten and pre-K this year made a decision not to put them in there for a variety of reasons. I think probably not least of which is they didn't want their kids' first experience with school being staring at a computer screen. So these are all things that will continue into the future. We're going to see learning setbacks because of online learning. We're going to see probably a lot more kids coming into kindergarten next year because of this delay. So the schools are going to have to get really smart about how they try to manage all of these impacts. Even after the pandemic sort of breaks, schools are going to be dealing with the problems that have been created in the past year.
Okay, we just have under a minute, but I want to talk with you about a story that you all have worked on El Paso's long-serving district attorney ending his term in office. What can you share with us?
Yeah, Jaime Esparza has been the district attorney in El Paso for the last 28 years. In fact, his predecessor was in office 22 years. So, El Paso has had only two DAs in the last half a century, which is sort of astounding. But he's made it known that he's interested as Joe Biden comes into office in becoming the U.S. attorney for the Western District of Texas, which would be the top federal prosecutor for a region that stretches from San Antonio to El Paso. He has the support of Congresswoman Veronica Escobar from El Paso, so that probably is to his benefit. But there's going to be a lot of Democratic prosecutors out there interested in that job. And you know, before the Biden administration could name a U.S. attorney, they have to name an attorney general who would be instrumental in making these selections. So we probably won't know until sometime next summer who the next federal prosecutor in the Western District of Texas will be.
Bob Moore is CEO of El Paso Matters. Bob, thanks for joining us to share what top stories you're following.
Thank you so much for having me, and a happy New Year to everyone.